Hello, and welcome back to another dreary fanfiction reading. Today I'm going to be reading chapters 13 through 15 of Seven Steps by Dorothy Ann on Archive of Our Own, or alternatively, Dorothy Ann Dreary on Wattpad. If you haven't seen the previous episodes, I highly recommend you do so, that way you're all caught up with the story. And yeah, now without further ado, please enjoy. Chapter 13. They stopped in at Honeydukes for mountains of sweets and the quill shop for ink. Potter stayed close by his side the whole time, glaring at anyone that hesitated or frowned at Draco. It reminded Draco of shopping with his father when he was young, although his father's respect mainly came from his wealth and political clout, which came from bribes and blackmail, blackmail bought with yet more money. When he was young, it was so easy to think his father was great. He had his moments. He was a good husband and a good father, most of the time, but not a great man. The pub was overrun with 7th and 8th year Hogwarts students. Potter's lot had taken over one of the large corner tables, dragging another table up to it to fit everyone. Potter edged through the crowd ahead of Draco and received a sarcastic cheer along with calls of what took him so long. Potter grabbed a chair and Draco braced himself to join without Pansy at his back. Luna shot to her feet before Draco could sit down.
"Your cloak is wonderful."
Draco smiled faintly. "Yes, thank you." Luna walked behind him and gasped.
"How pretty!"
She grabbed his hand and guided him in a slow turn to show the whole table the back of his cloak. Quite without realizing, he ended getting caught up talking with Luna and Thomas, making copies of Kate's information and telling everyone to get a piece commissioned. "You said she's just moved back to England and only been working for a month," Granger said. Draco leaned back as orders of chips and pitchers of butterbeer were passed around and people shouted over one another about what else to order. She was trained by Ribot, the famous designer. Robe fashions for the last 2 generations were shaped by her work, and you saw my cloak. If that's what she's making as inexperienced as she is... "It's nice, but..." Granger said doubtfully. "She's going to be England's next designer," Draco said. "All she needs is the money to get started. If she can get lots of clients..." "Why don't you just give her the money?" Weasley said. Draco rolled his eyes. "Because individualized piecework requires a large number of regular patrons. Our population is small, and magic means that clothing can be repaired and renewed for generations. Unique, individualized clothing that can't be bought off the rack in a shop is how a tailor becomes a trendsetter." "You certainly know a lot about this sort of thing," Granger said.
"I know a lot about a lot of things."
Draco sat back as the empty pitchers of butterbeer were replaced with beer and cider, along with a multitude of greasy fried food. Potter got his own plate of chips and started arguing with Weasley about the canons, while Granger began talking with Longbottom and Abbott about the exams their teachers were giving them in the few days before the holidays. Weasley kept reaching over and taking chips from Potter's plate, and every time he did, Potter's hand would twitch just a little, though the expression on his face never changed. Draco waited until Weasley went to grab another and pulled the plate just out of reach.
"Hey!" Weasley complained.
Draco smirked and moved the plate even farther away.
"I'm just saying," Weaselette said, raising her voice, "that having a type is bullshit."
"People totally have types," Finnegan said. "You have a type."
"I don't! That's the whole point!" Weaselette said.
"Both Dean and Luna are weird, arty types," Weasley said.
"Dean isn't weird," Finnegan said and winced.
"Sorry, Luna. It's not a bad thing."
"Oh, I know. It's other people who seem to think that," Luna said.
Weasley said, "But Harry doesn't fit. They dated." Potter and Weasley looked at one another and grimaced.
"That was..." Potter hesitated.
"Weird," Weaselet finished.
"Harry's rather creative on occasion," Granger said.
Thomas raised his hand.
"So what's my type, then?"
"Fiery," Longbottom said.
Weaselet and Finnegan laughed. Luna cradled her cup in both hands.
"I haven't dated enough to know, really, but kindness is very important to me."
"Mine's Dean," Finnegan said without hesitation. "Never had eyes for anyone else."
Thomas grinned, ducking his head in embarrassment. You... Everyone's eyes turned to the side of their booth. Weasley vehemently shook his head.
Keep me well out of it.
Weaselette snorted. You had to get your head out of your ass to even see what was right in front of you. Weasel's face went red. It's not that. I knew, but, you know. Granger smiled and took his hand.
Hermione's type, though. Weaselette grinned.
Jocks? Finnegan suggested.
No, Granger said firmly. It's...
They seem strong and simple, but have hidden depths and are kind and loyal and smart in their own way.
That's so romantic, Abbott said with a sigh, pressing her hands to her chest.
Weasley managed to turn even more red, hiding his face in his pint.
Next round? Finnegan called.
Draco pulled out a handful of coins to pay. Drunk Gryffindors were turning out to be fairly entertaining.
I don't think I have a type, Potter said.
Weasley laughed, nearly choking on his beer.
What? Potter said.
Weasley coughed and wiped his mouth.
You definitely have a type. First off, Seeker.
Seeker's not a type, Potter protested.
Smart, Granger added.
Weasley nodded.
Seeker, smart.
Could match him in a fight, fist or spells, Longbottom added.
Granger laughed.
Seeker, smart. Match him in a fight, and anywhere from a bit clever,
Weasley looked directly at Draco,
to so annoyingly sarcastic you want to bludgeon them to death half the time.
Draco rolled his eyes. Longbottom and Abbott talked about their type while everyone else got distracted by personal conversations. Their types were, unsurprisingly, very much like one another. Draco wasn't entirely certain the two of them weren't already dating and just hadn't realized it yet.
Have you dated anyone? Potter asked.
What? Draco twitched in surprise.
Dating, have you?
Potter prompted.
No, nothing so formal.
Not formal, so casual relationships?
Draco shook his head.
I'd rather not talk about it.
What's your type, Malfoy? Longbottom's voice broke into their conversation.
Draco thought for a moment.
Dark hair. Sarcasm is a must. Smart, but not as smart as I am, and...
He trailed off.
That's plenty.
Abbott said, That sounds just like Pansy. You two are always together. Are you dating?
I knew I wasn't the only one that thought that, Potter said.
Draco gave Potter a look. He told Abbott,
No, strictly friends.
Oh, Abbott frowned. Are you... I'd always thought she had feelings for you all throughout school.
Platonic feelings, Draco said. She'd throw me off a cliff if I tried to kiss her. Not that I would, because, as I stated before, I am not interested.
Longbottom tried to stifle a laugh that was quickly descending into a drunken giggle. A tray floated over with yet more beer and a tall, thin glass with layers of pink ice cream, clotted cream and fruit, topped with a cherry.
A Knickerbocker glory just for you, Malfoy, Weasley said.
The table all cheered and laughed as it floated in front of him. As an apology for earlier, I thought it'd be right up your alley, Weasley said with a cheeky grin.
I think he got you, Potter said.
Maybe. Draco huffed and reluctantly gave a point to Weasley. He wasn't all too bothered by the teasing, though. After all, he did get to eat it. Draco plucked the cherry off the top and set it on his tongue, sucking the juice off of his fingers. He took a spoonful of ice cream and strawberries, smiling around the spoon as he slowly pulled it from between his lips. Potter watched with wide eyes. Draco glanced past Potter and saw Weasley had covered his face with both hands and looked to be dying, and thus Draco reclaimed the lead. He grinned.
Thank you so much, Weasley.
Weasley groaned and Granger rolled her eyes.
Please stop. Potter said, his voice rough.
Draco swirled the ice cream.
Are you sure? He asked and took another bite.
I'll have to leave if you keep doing that, Potter said.
go to the loo for a quick wank?
Draco said.
Malfoy?
Potter said.
Fine. I'm not particularly interested in putting on a show for this lot anyway.
He held out the spoon.
Want some?
Potter hesitated and then took the spoon, having a few bites before handing it back.
It's good.
Quite, Draco said.
Oh, Merlin,
Longbottom said faintly. He was describing Harry.
What?
Abbott asked.
Nothing, nothing,
Longbottom said, and took a big gulp of cider, even though his face was already permanently pink from drink. Draco ate the rest of the Knickerbocker while watching the rest of the table slowly descend into drunkenness. It involved a lot of rude songs, shouted more than sung, and rarely finished, as everyone crumbled into laughter halfway through. And everyone seemed to drift closer together. Thomas and Finnegan were sitting with their chairs pressed side to side, Thomas with his arm around Finnegan's shoulders. Every minute or so, they would look at each other and smile. Luna was playing with Weaselet's hand in her lap, and Weaselet kept biting her lip to keep from grinning like a bestotted fool. Longbottom and Abbott had fallen into whispered conversation, so they were only inches apart, as Granger leaned her head against Weasley's shoulder. Draco wished he could reach over and take Potter's hand. Potter was shredding his bar mat, looking as thoughtful as one can with three pints in them. Draco wished he could reach over and take Potter's hand. Potter was shredding his bar mat, looking as thoughtful as one can with three pints in them. Draco slid his leg over, pressing it to Potter's. Potter froze and then said abruptly, "I'm going to the loo."
"I'll come," Weasley said.
Draco stood to let both of them out of the booth. Weasley had to grab hold of Potter to keep upright. When he sat, he found himself right next to Granger, who was still working on a second pint and probably the closest to sober after himself.
"You'll take Harry back to the castle?" Granger asked.
Before Draco could even get past the shock that she'd let him take Potter back by himself, Granger added, "I still don't like you much, but you're better than you were, and you're good for him. Harry doesn't pretend everything's okay when he's with you."
"What?"
"Move." Granger waved at him to stand up again. "I'm going to get us all some water." Draco stood and Granger headed to the bar. Before he even had a chance to sit again, Potter was back. "I'm done," Potter told the table to a chorus of boos and a few weak cheers. Weasley slumped back down at the table.
"Where's Miney?"
"Getting water," Draco said.
"Good, smart Miney," Weasley said, laying down on the booth and closing his eyes.
Draco grabbed Potter's coat and scarf. "I'll go back with you?" Potter nodded, pulling his arms clumsily through the sleeves. "Night," Potter waved to the table and began making his way through the mess of half-empty tables. Draco pulled his cloak on and followed. The slush outside was just beginning to freeze into a jagged, icy crust, with patches of ice as black as the soil just waiting to trip up the unexpected drunk. Potter stumbled and Draco caught his arm, guiding it around his shoulder.
"You're going to end up on your ass."
"No, I won't," Potter said.
Draco put his arm around Potter's waist.
"Somehow I doubt that." "I won't because you're holding me up," Potter said astutely.
"If you go ass end over tea kettle, I'm not going down with you," Draco said.
Potter frowned at him.
"Why aren't you drunk?"
Potter shrugged.
"I only had a butterbeer."
"Why?" Potter asked. "Is it because it was all of us or your stomach?"
"And miss out on all you Gryffindors acting like morons? Not a chance," he answered evasively.
"Hey!"
Potter tried to nudge him and nearly slipped again. Draco pulled him closer.
"Could you stop being so impossible?"
"No,"
Potter muttered.
They walked through the empty streets in silence. It wasn't until they started down the road to Hogwarts that Potter spoke up again.
"I want to kiss you," Potter said.
"Is that so?"
"Can I?"
Potter asked. Draco bit his lip at the temptation and then shook his head.
"No."
"Why not?"
Potter pouted. Draco smiled faintly.
"You're drunk, Potter."
not, Potter said firmly, and then entirely ruined the sentiment by slipping and nearly falling into a pile of slush. Draco pulled Potter back into proper balance.
You're drunk enough.
Potter frowned.
Well, that shouldn't matter, seeing as I want to kiss you all the time.
You do? Draco raised his eyebrows. Why don't you, then? I certainly wouldn't complain. Potter groaned.
Because you're gorgeous and smart and confident, and I have no idea what I'm doing.
He grimaced and tried to pull his knitted hat over his eyes, but succeeded in pulling it half off.
I am drunk.
And a talkative one at that, Draco said, cheeks flushed at the praise.
No, Potter lied.
He took off his hat and shoved it into his pocket, pointlessly trying to pat his messy hair flat.
Don't bother. That disaster can't be saved, Draco said.
Potter pulled his glove off and stubbornly tried to work his fingers through the tangles.
Merlin, save me, Draco muttered,
pulling Potter to a stop and taking a small comb from his robes.
You carry a comb with you? Potter said,
his tone lost somewhere between amusement and annoyance. Draco worked the comb through slowly, letting the detangling charms do most of the hard work.
Hair this good takes effort, Potter. Even Pansy needs smoothing charms, and her hair hangs straight as a board.
I rather like your hair after you've just been brewing, Potter muttered,
eyes fluttering shut as Draco used his fingers to try and make the wild black hair look on purpose.
Everyone else ends up looking like a mess after brewing, and your hair just gets all...
He made a sweeping motion with his hand.
Loose and curling just a bit. Bloody unfair.
Draco hummed thoughtfully and finally had to take his hands back or be forced to admit he was just playing with Potter's hair.
I'll keep that in mind.
Don't.
Don't what? Draco asked, trying and failing not to grin.
Potter narrowed his eyes.
If you do your hair like that all the time, I'll go mad.
No, you won't, Draco said.
Yeah, well, I'll definitely fail every nude I'm trying for, Potter said.
Draco smiled.
I'm flattered.
Of course you are, Potter muttered.
I'll make sure to limit myself to times you don't need to concentrate then, Draco said graciously.
How kind of you.
Potter said sarcastically. He hesitated and reached out, taking Draco's hand.
It's getting late. We should get back, he said, staring down the road.
Draco squeezed Potter's hand.
Is it? He said sarcastically. I hadn't noticed.
You're such an ass, Potter said.
Draco grinned but kept quiet. Potter had his thinking face on. Potter took a deep breath and asked,
What are you doing after school? It seems like everyone knows what they're doing.
Draco raised an eyebrow.
Everyone?
Potter chewed his bottom lip.
Ron's still going for Auror, and he says he'll probably work for George if that doesn't work out. Miney's gonna work in the ministry. She probably has a 10-year plan to become the Minister of Magic.
You have to be at least 35 to run, Draco said. A 15-year plan, then, Potter said.
Neff says he wants to help out with the Aurors, but I'm pretty sure Sprout wants him to take over for her, and that'd be a good fit for him.
Ginny's gonna play Quidditch, and Luna's gonna work for the Quibbler. Dean wants to be an artist, and Seamus has been researching fireworks and explosive magic all year. I'm going to assume that you brought this up because you don't know what you want to do, Draco said. Potter hesitated and licked his lips.
I thought I did. I want to keep helping people and thought being an Auror would be the best way to do it. For me, anyway, but...
His voice dropped to a whisper like he was admitting something horrible.
I don't really want to.
Draco gave him an incredulous look.
It's more mad to think you would.
Potter nodded with relief.
Yeah, I was going to do it anyway because I thought I couldn't think of anything better to do, but then I saw what you've been doing and thought maybe I could do something like that, but I don't know what that would be either.
You can always just get your newts for now and decide later, Draco said.
But I oughta...
Why?
Draco cut him off. You think the Aurors or anyone else is going to turn you down if it takes you a year or five to decide what you want to do? You might live to be 200 and you're worried about the whole rest of your life now, at 18?
You make it sound stupid when you put it like that, Potter said.
That's because it is. Really, of all people, you have quite literally the option of doing anything you like, even nothing if you wanted. You could be a gentleman of leisure if you wanted.
Potter laughed.
No way. I'd drive myself barmy with nothing to do.
You could have 7 different jobs. You could change jobs every 5 years. You could move to Borneo and sell ice lollies.
Ice lollies? Potter laughed.
They finally got past the trees and followed the lights of the castle across the frozen lawns. Potter huffed out a breath like a cloud.
What are you doing for Christmas? Do you do Christmas?
He asked.
I always thought it was a bit odd, wizards doing Christian holidays, but is there a magic one?
I asked Hermione once, and she started with the year something, Pope so-and-so decided something or other, and I kind of drifted off.
Draco smirked. We started celebrating Christian holidays because it was an excellent way of avoiding being burned at the stake as a witch. The church wasn't keen on pagans, magic or not, Draco decided. Before Christmas, most celebrated Yule. It starts at the solstice. It's a celebration of the darkest night of the year ending and the light coming back. The celebration can last for weeks. There's a midwinter festival up at the Standing Stones every year, but I've never gone.
Potter asked, Do you celebrate Yule then, or...
Christmas, Draco said. Can you imagine any spoiled Malfoy child passing up a holiday all about piles of presents?
Potter grinned.
No, I can't.
I'll be with Mother and Pansy, Draco said. You'll be spending the holidays with the Weasleys?
Yeah, it's the first one without Fred. I kind of just want to pass on the whole thing, but they've been good to me. I want to be there for them too.
Potter went quiet and thoughtful.
During the summer, at the Weasleys, you could feel the gap where Fred ought to have been. All the Weasleys carried one. And Andromeda was just surrounded by emptiness. It's awful.
Draco squeezed Potter's hand.
People treat you like a gap, Potter said softly. I noticed it as soon as we came back for school. Everyone treats you like you're not there.
I don't give a fuck what any of them think, Draco said.
Potter blinked at him.
Draco met his gaze, feeling nervous and defiant in turn.
I spent 2 years expecting to die, as a threat hanging over my father's head. I'm not going to waste my time even thinking about people who don't care about me.
I care about you, Potter said.
Draco flushed and looked away.
I wouldn't have put up with you this long if you didn't.
Potter rolled his eyes and shifted closer so their arms were nearly pressed together as they walked.
Do you think...
He hesitated.
You might ever call me Harry, like Pansy said?
Maybe, Draco said.
Maybe when? Potter asked.
Maybe when... I feel like I don't have to hold back, Draco said.
Oh, Potter said softly. So...
He broke off as the door opened in front of them. McGonagall held the door with one foot and opened a small silver pocket watch, making a point of carefully checking the time.
Cutting it a bit close, aren't we?
It was 1:15 when we left, Draco said. And now it's 1:45. You may be of age, but I'm quite certain no one needs to be out past midnight, McGonagall said archly.
Draco exchanged a look with Potter.
McGonagall raised an unamused eyebrow.
I'm aware you think differently. All young people seem to. Thankfully, you're not in charge.
Yes, headmistress, Draco said. Potter tried not to grin.
Do you know how many were still there when you left? McGonagall asked.
Potter's brow furrowed.
There was Ron and Hermione and...
8 in our group, Draco said. Another 6 at other tables, I think.
That's about right. McGonagall said with a frown. I'll have to ask Hagrid to round them up.
Are they going to get in trouble? Potter asked, looking over his shoulder.
McGonagall shook her head. Only if they gave Hagrid trouble.
I won't have any rascally drunks causing a nuisance in my castle. She looked down at their joined hands, and Potter squeezed so hard Draco's hand ached. She sighed.
Try to keep out of trouble, gentlemen.
Potter grinned. He pointed to himself. Me? Get in trouble? Never. McGonagall sighed and waved them through the door.
Good night, headmistress, Draco said, dragging Potter inside.
Chapter 14.
What are you doing exactly? Pansy asked.
My hair, Draco said, frowning at himself in the mirror.
Pansy raised her eyebrow in the reflection.
Are you going for a drowned rat look?
No, Draco ground out.
Then I take it it's not going well, Pansy said.
Draco threw his comb into the sink and impatiently vanished the potion soaking his hair.
Pansy was trying not to grin.
So, what are you trying to do, Draco?
I want it to look like after I finished brewing, Draco said.
That is a nice look on you, Pansy said. A softer look than you usually go for, though.
Can you do it?
It's for Potter? Pansy asked.
Can you?
Is it?
Pansy said, mimicking his tone.
Sort of, Draco said.
Pansy rolled her eyes.
Draco crossed his arms, watching Pansy through the mirror.
Okay, fine. So, no, I can't, Pansy said. But Melanie could.
Your friend? Draco asked.
Pansy nodded and waved for Draco to follow her.
They're probably still in the prefect's bath.
The prefect's bath? Draco repeated as he caught up to her.
Why?
Apparently the Hufflepuff bathrooms have no counters on the sinks, and the mirrors are too small. They used to get ready in their rooms before Jenna made prefect, and they've done it there ever since, Pansy said.
Pansy told the girls' bath the password and pulled the door open.
Draco held back.
Come on.
Draco narrowed his eyes.
It's inappropriate.
Pansy raised an eyebrow.
Really?
You walk in on my doormates all the time.
Yes, but you and Millie don't care, and Daphne's a bitch, Draco said.
True, Pansy said. She stepped inside, a few seconds later pushing the door back open. Just Jenna and Melanie, all completely dressed. Draco took a deep breath and followed Pansy inside. Jenna and Melanie were leaning against the large counter in front of a massive mirror. Bottles of all sorts covered the vanity, most of which Draco didn't recognize outside of being Muggle. There was a smell in the air that was reminiscent of fake flowers and something faintly bitter. Pansy wrinkled her nose.
Hairspray?
Yep, the blonde with perfectly smooth hair said. The brunette said, My curls wouldn't hold.
Use the charm then, the blonde said.
I don't like the charm. It looks weird.
Whatever, the blonde rolled her eyes.
So, Draco, Pansy said, this is Melanie. She gestured to the brunette with a cascade of perfect curls. And this is Jenna. She gestured to the blonde who waved sarcastically.
And you're Draco, Jenna said. Pansy says you're an asshole.
A delusional asshole, Melanie said.
But considering what she calls everyone else, that's practically a compliment, Jenna said.
Melanie nodded.
Pretty much, yeah. So, nice to meet you.
Totally, Jenna agreed. If nothing else, it's nice to meet a boy who cares about how he looks.
Melanie looked at Jenna.
I know, right? Jenna nodded.
Pansy said, Draco's trying to do something with his hair.
Melanie perked up, looking at Draco's hair with more interest.
What sort of thing?
It's so fine, Jenna said, tilting her head. But not too thin, Melanie said.
Draco blinked, feeling entirely off kilter. It's after I've been brewing, my hair gets loose and wavy, he said. I can't figure out how to do it on purpose.
Melanie and Jenna exchanged looks.
Must have a bit of a natural curl, Melanie said.
Jenna started sorting through the bottles on the counter.
What do you use to keep it back normally?
A dab of Sleek Easies and a touch more of Stay Sure, Draco said. Both Jenna and Melanie grimaced. Doesn't really suit you, Jana said. Melanie picked up a comb and toyed with it absently.
I always thought so as well.
Your features are already so sharp, Jenna said. Just leaving your hair loose would help. Pansy smirked. You should have seen him in first year. His hair was like a helmet. Don't, Draco said. That whole year was a nightmare.
Your whole life is a nightmare, Pansy retorted.
As if yours isn't, Draco said. Pansy rolled her eyes. Jenna grinned.
You're all right.
Not bad at all, Melanie said.
So for now, we can just recreate the hairstyle.
Jenna plucked out two glass bottles, looking so strangely out of place amongst the muggle bottles made of plastic, and handed them to him. Draco took a bit of both, working it into his hair and trying to ignore all of them watching him. Jenna cast a bubble around his head, and Melanie began filling it with a steady stream of steam.
This sort of thing might be useful for other hairstyles, Melanie said.
Jenna narrowed her eyes thoughtfully. Takes a bit long, though.
My mom would sit under one of those massive hair dryers for ages every Friday, Melanie said.
Totally, Jenna agreed. But witches are so
impatient.
Exactly, Jenna said. Brewing takes time, Draco said, holding perfectly still. And makeup and nails. Pansy leaned against the corner.
A witch knows the value of a good thing.
Hopefully, Melanie said.
Jenna sighed.
Maybe. Melanie and Jenna pulled their wands back, and Melanie picked up a comb that came to a point at one end, using it carefully to rearrange his hair so it fell to one side and curved around his face.
A good look for you, Jenna said.
Melanie nodded. If you do your hair when it's still damp, in a steamy bath, you can probably do it like this every time. Draco admired himself in the mirror.
It's perfect.
They both nodded.
This was interesting, Jenna said. We should hang out again, Melanie said.
Cool, let's meet up later, Pansy said, grabbing Draco's arm and leading him out of the bathroom. She let out a huff of relief as the door clicked shut.
I told you I was capable of being subtle, Draco said.
Pansy smacked his arm.
Oh, shut up.
Draco had to stop himself from reaching up to touch his hair. It tickled his cheek.
This is going to take some getting used to, he grumbled.
Pansy hummed absently, linking her hands behind her back.
Last night must have went well, then.
Draco couldn't stop himself from grinning. I did buy a fantastic cloak. I'll show it to you tonight.
That's not what I meant, Pansy said. What happened with Potter?
He's a talkative drunk, Draco said happily.
What did he talk about? Pansy asked.
Draco gave her a look.
None of your business, you gossipy cow.
Pansy stuck her tongue out at him.
He did hold my hand, though.
Pansy put her hand to her mouth, and Mock gasped,
He held your hand?
You asked, Draco huffed.
Yes, Pansy said, but you two are completely ridiculous.
We're not, Draco said. A smirk crept up to Pansy's face.
You act like you're 14.
I resent that. Pansy's smirk grew.
Oh, poor baby.
Draco picked up his pace, getting ahead of Pansy within a few strides.
Stop being tall, Pansy shouted, trotting to catch up.
She tried to grab Draco's arm to slow him down, and he raised it up out of reach. Draco lifted his chin with a sniff.
Sorry, what were you saying? I can't hear you all the way down there.
Fine, Pansy said sourly. It's absolutely fucking fantastic that he held your hand. I'm so pleased for you.
Draco nearly stopped in his tracks.
Were you even trying?
Yes, Pansy said. Draco rolled his eyes.
Sure.
So? You had a drunken heart-to-heart, he held your hand, and you decided to change your hair? Pansy asked.
Inadequate summary, Draco said.
Pansy frowned at a portrait as they walked by. And Potter will be very pleased with your new hairstyle, I suppose?
Well, yes, Draco said,
but in this case, he's probably going to be pissed.
Pansy missed a step and fell behind.
What?
She hurried back to his side.
What?
Draco grinned as they reached the entrance to the Great Hall.
It's going to be hilarious.
What? Pansy looked at him like he'd lost his mind. Draco headed straight for the Gryffindor table, and Potter, in particular, who was pushing his food around on his plate, wearing an awful red sweatshirt, his hair looking as if he'd literally just rolled out of bed.
Potter! Draco called.
Oh, Merlin. Pansy groaned, sitting down. This is one of your stupid plans, isn't it? Potter ducked his head, looking embarrassed.
Potter!
Draco said impatiently.
It is.
Pansy pursed her lips. Fuck this nonsense. She turned on her heel and headed straight for the Slytherin table. Draco raised his hand on the Gryffindor table, leaning towards Potter.
Do you like my hair, Potter?
Potter's head snapped up and he stared at Draco, his expressions shifting through a truly fascinating array, from embarrassment to shock then disbelief to annoyance with more disbelief and finally outrage.
You little...
Draco warned with a wicked grin. There are children present, Potter. No swearing. Potter grabbed a muffin and threw it at Draco, hitting his shoulder. Draco lurched back, throwing up his hands, but already laughing too hard to do anything more than stumble backwards. Potter stood on the bench and kept pelting him with muffins. They bounced off of his arms and chest, rolling across the floor. Potter looked about ready to stand on the table when McGonagall's voice rang out over the room.
Gentlemen, that is enough!
Potter dropped the last muffin and quickly jumped off the bench. Draco braced his hands on his knees, trying to catch his breath back and stifle the last few hiccuped laughs. McGonagall left her seat and stormed past them out into the hall.
Come with me, now.
They followed her out, Potter looking mildly sheepish about the whole thing, but still simmering with pure, unadulterated annoyance. Draco bit his tongue, trying to keep a straight face. The doors to a nearby conference room snapped open at McGonagall's approach and slammed closed once all three of them were inside. "Would you care to explain yourselves?" she asked shortly. Draco and Potter looked at one another.
"He knew I..." Potter started. "It was just a bit of fun," Draco tried to explain. "I never should have told him. You have to admit it was..."
"Enough," McGonagall said, narrowing her eyes. "One at a time. You." She pointed at Draco. "Potter told me he liked my hair like this," Draco said.
"When I was drunk," Potter said sourly.
"But that he'd find it too distracting if I did it all the time. So he did it immediately," Potter said.
"Because it was funny."
McGonagall and Potter glared at him.
"It was," Draco said.
McGonagall pinched the bridge of her nose. Potter bit his lip, trying not to smile, and eventually gave up entirely.
"You're ridiculous."
"Me?" Draco pointed to himself. "You're the one assaulting people with baked goods." Potter burst out laughing. McGonagall gave them both a stern look. "The two of you will be eating your breakfast in the kitchens today, and there won't be any more throwing food, or you'll both be serving detention, regardless of who started it." She paused and added, "Separate detentions."
"Sorry," Potter said.
He nudged Draco. Draco raised an eyebrow.
"I didn't do anything wrong. I just changed my hair."
"Going out of your way to provoke someone is not blameless," McGonagall said, "although in this instance I can only assume it was some sort of flirting." Draco flushed.
"I was not..."
Potter grinned and Draco elbowed him in the side. McGonagall sighed. "Go eat and try actually behaving yourselves this time." She waved her wand and the door swung open and headed back to the hall, muttering under her breath, "It's only 6 months." Potter followed a few steps behind, but instead of going out into the hall, he shut the door again and turned to Draco with a look in his eye.
"What?"
Potter shook his head. "It's too early for this."
He grabbed the front of Draco's robes, pulled him close, and kissed him. Draco gripped the front of Potter's horrible sweatshirt and kissed him back, quite happy to let Potter take the lead, especially when one kiss led to another and another. Potter's tongue brushed his lips and Draco opened his mouth without hesitation, wrapping his hands around the nape of Potter's neck and tilting his head to deepen the kiss. Draco groaned as Potter's fingers pushed through his hair, dragging over his scalp, gripping in the tangle of hair and pulling Draco's head back.
"Better?" Potter said, letting go of Draco's hair with a grin.
"Really?" Draco huffed, using his fingers to try and detangle and smooth his hair back.
"Serves you right," Potter said, looking pleased with himself and only mildly flustered.
"We have exams for the next 3 days, and I need to focus." Draco frowned at him for the look of the thing, but honestly, getting a snog was more of a reward than a punishment. He'd tolerate getting his hair messed up for that.
"Come on, let's get something to eat," Potter said.
"Then, do you want to study together?"
"Probably not," Draco said.
Potter frowned.
"Not if I want to concentrate," Draco said.
Potter grinned.
"Oh, am I distracting?
Have you met yourself?
Just looking at yourself is enough to cause mild anxiety," Draco said.
Potter snickered.
"Yeah, well, you ought to see yourself right now."
Draco glared at him and tried to fix his hair again.
It's fine," Potter laughed, grabbing his arm and pulling him towards the door.
Chapter 15. As it was wont to do, school took up the majority of the next 3 days. The tests were not so much grades as markers of how badly prepared they were for the newts at the end of the year, full of everything from first to seventh year curriculum, including things they were never taught but were still expected to know. Not that Draco didn't see Potter. They ate together a few times and tried to study together, which was a disaster. When they weren't distracted by glances and staring at one another, they were flirting, which somehow always ended up as teasing that was very disruptive, as Pins put it, when she was ordering them to separate tables, unless they wanted to leave together. The Slytherin dungeons were the exact opposite of a good study environment, so Draco forced himself to behave. There were a lot of stolen kisses, into very memorable snogs in dark corners and empty rooms. Draco was very pleased with Potter's growing boldness, but he kept having to remind himself not to get too excited. Potter still hadn't told more of his friends, much less anyone else about their... Could he even call it a proper relationship? It felt more than just a casual fling. It wasn't friends with benefits, or Draco would imagine there would be a lot more benefits. Yet it was still a tenuous, secretive thing. Not that it would be smart or advisable to be in any sort of public relationship with Harry fucking Potter, especially being ex-Death Eater Draco Malfoy. But Potter could have at least talked to him about it not being a good idea. Draco finished packing his bag and shrunk it down, slipping it into his pocket as he joined Pansy in the common room to walk to the train together.
"I feel like someone used a Scourgify on my brain," Pansy said. "Or should. I'm looking forward to not thinking about anything for 2 weeks."
"Nothing?" Draco asked, raising an eyebrow.
"Nothing," Pansy repeated, "except for maybe the new spring lines."
The corner of Draco's mouth twitched.
"Ah.
Which doesn't count because I enjoy it," Pansy said. Draco grinned.
"Of course not."
Draco walked closer to Pansy as they got near the doors and the crowds grew thicker, full of shouting and laughter. They made sure to stay at the back. Crowds made him nervous.
Malfoy! Potter called, trying to push his way through the crowd without actually pushing anyone. But for him, most people moved anyway.
Pansy waited until Potter had reached his side and then nudged Draco and fell back a few steps.
"You're taking the train?" Potter asked.
Draco looked at the line of children he was currently following to the train station and said sarcastically, "No." Potter hesitated. "All the other 8th years are fluing or apparating back from Hogsmeade."
"I had my apparition license revoked," Draco said, "and all the manor's flues have been gated as part of Mother's house arrest."
"So you're taking the train back," Potter said.
"So I'm taking the train back."
Potter grimaced.
"Walk me to the station?" Draco asked.
"Yeah,"
Potter said, as if he hadn't already been doing so.
Why'd they take my apparition license?
Potter nodded.
Because they could, Draco said.
All the stipulations of my release came from the members of the Wizgamot that argued for my imprisonment. Potter reached out, grabbing Draco's arm and squeezing it. He looked at his own hand like it had moved without his permission and pulled it back to his chest, tugging absentmindedly at his jacket.
It's still fine, Draco said. It's not as if I didn't deserve worse.
Potter stiffened.
Draco rolled his eyes. I did things that other people were sent to Azkaban for. I did take the mark.
You were just a kid, Potter said.
So are you, Draco said right back.
Potter pulled off his hat so he could push his fingers through his hair.
If anyone other than you had spoken for me at my trial, I'd be in Azkaban right now, Draco said.
You saved me at the manor.
You pulled me from the fire.
I couldn't just... Potter frowned and shook his head.
Neither could I, Draco said.
Potter sighed.
It's fine.
Potter frowned at him.
I'm not saying I enjoy the experience, Draco said, having to ride the night bus all the way to Wiltshire's punishment in its own right.
Potter's eyes widened.
You ride the night bus?
Unfortunately, Draco said.
Potter looked as though he was trying very hard not to laugh.
Really?
Draco didn't dignify that with a response.
When the bus goes around the corner and you're sliding across the floor in one of those purple chairs...
Potter crossed his arms across his chest and furrowed his brow, sticking out his lower lip in a pout, all in all making him look like a constipated Neanderthal.
That's...
Draco shoved him in indignation. Potter threw his head back and laughed. Draco felt himself starting to pout and bit his bottom lip.
Rude, he huffed.
Potter slowed down as they reached the train platform.
The train doesn't leave for a while yet, Draco said, grabbing Potter's wrist and pulling him on board.
He had to go two cars down before he found an empty compartment, one of the small ones with only a single bench.
He slid the door shut behind them, pressing Potter back against it and kissing him. He felt Potter's hands pushed under his cloak and robes, sliding over his shirt, a thin layer of cotton separating them.
Draco shifted closer, pressing Potter tighter to the door as he kissed him, wanted to feel every heated line of his body. And Potter pressed back even as he shuddered like he wasn't entirely in control of his own desire. There was a tap on the door that made them both jump, and Pansy called, "The train is leaving in 10 minutes." Draco leaned back with a groan.
"Have a happy Christmas," Potter said breathlessly.
Draco rolled his eyes.
"Really, Potter?"
"What?"
Draco shook his head and said softly,
"Think of me over the break." Draco cupped Potter's cheek. "Especially when you're masturbating."
"Malfoy!"
Potter smacked his shoulder.
Draco had to bite down on the inside of his lip to keep from laughing. Potter's face was hot under his fingers.
"I mean it. Think of me when you come."
"Merlin," Potter said faintly. "You're..."
Pansy tapped on the door again.
5 minutes.
The train's whistle rang out. Draco kissed him again and pulled the door open. Pansy was leaning on the windows outside, arms crossed.
"Unless you want to try your hand at apparating off a moving train, you should probably go."
Okay. Potter hesitated.
"Bye."
Draco leaned out the door as Potter stepped off the train.
"Have a happy Christmas, Potter."
"Pervert," Pansy said as she pushed past him and into the small compartment. Draco slammed the door shut, heat flooding his cheeks.
"You heard?"
"I heard you being a pervert," Pansy said.
"You think everyone's a pervert," Draco retorted. "For the love of Merlin, does this look like a soundproofed wall to you?"
Pansy reached behind her and rapped loudly on the thin panel.
"A thick stone wall? An artfully constructed silencing charm?
Yes, fine, shut up," Draco said shortly.
"No," Pansy said. "I had to listen to it.
I'm not going to shut up, just...
You didn't have to listen. Draco turned to glare at her. Pansy narrowed her eyes.
I did, because if I could hear it, anyone else who walked through could as well. I had to scare off a pack of second years.
Draco deflated and dropped onto the seat next to Pansy.
I thought I was careful.
You were until you opened your mouth, Pansy said. She took the Daily Prophet out from under her arm and unfolded it. I stole this from one of the brats I hexed. Draco took the paper from her with a grimace. The headline read, Death Eater's Revenge, with several bylines underneath. Hogwarts Beware. Is a new plot unfolding? Is our hero safe? The center of the paper was half filled with a picture of Potter and him walking back to Hogwarts, Draco's arm around Potter's waist to keep him upright. It was taken from the back and was too far away to make out anything other than their hair, which was unfortunately very distinctive. The article itself is mostly just conjecture and fear-mongering, Pansy said. The only actual information is a few interviews from students that say you've been hanging out with Potter a lot lately. Of course, that door woman makes it sound like you're keeping a knife to his throat.
I would think she was ill if she didn't assume the absolute worst, Draco said and sighed.
Pansy snatched the paper back and threw it on the ground in disgust. Draco said, I was hoping they'd go for a more charitable angle, that I was Potter's new pity project or something, but I knew it was unlikely.
You're going to have to be so careful.
I know, Draco said. One toe out of line, I know, Draco said impatiently. I knew as soon as I started school again something like this was going to happen. It's going to be worse because of him.
Potter?
Draco asked.
No, the bloody Minister of Magic. Of course I mean Potter, Pansy snipped.
Draco rolled his eyes. He's not going to let them throw me in Azkaban if I haven't done anything.
Even if you break up? Pansy said. Even if he decides he doesn't want the whole world knowing he likes blokes?
Draco raised an eyebrow. He saved my life when he hated me, and I was a Death Eater. He's Harry Potter. Pansy slumped down, kicking the newspaper irritably.
Yes, all right.
Draco leaned down, rescuing the front page of the paper, folding it and tucking it into an inside pocket.
Hey, I stole that fair and square, Pansy said.
And I stole it from you. Pansy kicked at his boot.
What do you want with it anyway? If I were you, I'd want to light it on fire, along with all the papers and press, and maybe Skeeter as well.
I'm on the front page, Draco said. Pansy narrowed her eyes. Draco lifted his chin. I've hardly been in the paper at all, much less the front page.
You're the worst, Pansy said flatly. I don't expect you to understand. You've never been on the front page.
Pansy said, Oh, go put it in your scrapbook.
I don't have a scrapbook, Draco said stiffly.
It was an album, not a scrapbook.
They talked for a few minutes more, then Pansy fell asleep on Draco's shoulder, and he took out a book and read the rest of the way to the station. They waited on the train until it was empty, and the platform only had a few people loitering around, making their way out through a crush of muggles in strange clothes. Pansy kept slowing down to look at him with a mixture of curiosity and interest. They walked down a side street until they were away from the crowds, and Draco drew out his wand, holding it up.
You can apparate back, Draco said without much hope. You don't have to ride with me.
Pansy just grinned. When the purple monstrosity skidded to a halt in front of them, Pansy shot up the stairs, racing to pick her favorite chair while Draco paid their fare. Draco picked a heavy chair that he hoped wouldn't move much. Across from him, Pansy pulled her feet up onto the cushions of the smaller chair just as the bus lurched forward. Her chair skidded past him towards the back of the bus. She was already starting to giggle. Draco gripped the arms of his chair so hard that his fingertips went white. Luckily, once they were outside London, the hurling around corners and squeezing between muggle automobiles dropped enough that Draco was able to pry his hands loose from where they were trying to become one with the upholstery. Just in time as well, because if he had to listen to Pansy laughing like a hyena for even a second longer, he was going to throw her out a window. He didn't know what she enjoyed more, sliding around on the chair or watching him suffer. Knowing Pansy, it was both. The bus dropped them off at the massive wrought iron fence of the manor. the gate swinging open as soon as Draco approached. The manor loomed over them as they approached, shadows catching and growing in places they never had when he was young. The bushes and grass had gone brown, and if it weren't for the biting cold, he could have mistaken it for fall. Kipper, the head elf, opened the door as they approached and gave a fussy little bow. "Welcome home, Master Draco." Mother was waiting, wearing dress robes, hair done up in a neat bun like she was heading to a ministry function rather than greeting her son. Her hands were clasped tightly in front of her, but fell open as Draco stepped inside and swept him into a hug. "Welcome back." "Thank you, Mother," Draco said, hugging her back with care. Tulip had been waiting at Mother's side, wearing a yellow pastel pillowcase and holding her camera in both hands, shaking with excitement.
"Family photograph!"
Kipper glared at her and cleared his throat meaningfully as he closed the door. Tulip ignored him.
"The master is home. There has to be a photo for the memory."
Mother stepped back with an apologetic smile. "I'm afraid I said she could." "I'll head up and put my things away," Pansy said. Mother stopped her with a wave. "Stay, won't you? It would be nice to have a photo of all of us." Pansy frowned and then quickly conjured a mirror, setting her hair and makeup to rights in a few waves of her wand too quick to tell one charm from another. Mother pulled Draco to her right and Pansy to her left, arranging them both to her liking before loosely clasping her arms in front of herself and putting on a smile. Draco felt himself falling into the pose without thinking, one hand on his mother's shoulder, the other placed behind his own back. Before his face could set into practiced indifference, he was distracted by Tulip. "You've forgotten the lens cap, Tulip." Tulip quickly fumbled the cap off and set it skittering across the tiles. "Your finger's in the way." Tulip quickly pulled all her fingers in and held the sides of the camera with even more determination. Draco couldn't stop the creeping grin. "You'll get a better photo if you hold the camera straight." Tulip tilted her head to one side, somehow resulting in the camera straightening.
"Oh, stop fussing," Mother said.
"I'm just helping," Draco said, voice edged with amusement. Pansy snorted.
"Like you know anything about photography."
Draco said, "It doesn't take a genius."
"It takes a camera, which you don't have," Pansy said primly. "You too," Mother chastised gently, a genuine smile having taken the place of the fake one.
"All done," Tulip said with a bounce. "Tulip got a very good picture."
"I'm looking forward to seeing it, Tulip," Mother said. "Do make 4 prints, will you?" Pansy said, "Oh, I don't..."
"Tulip will do that," Tulip said. "Should I now or later?"
"That would be fine. I won't be needing you until later," Mother said. Tulip bobbed in something like a bow or a curtsy and apparated with a snap. "Your bags," Kipper said sourly, his eyes mostly hidden by an impressive set of eyebrows, though his scowl of disapproval was quite apparent. "I'll take care of my own bags," Pansy said. "I'd like to lie down before dinner."
"Of course, travel can be so tiresome," Mother said.
Pansy hesitated. "Thank you for having me again."
"It's been a delight. I wouldn't have it any other way," Mother said.
Pansy smiled faintly and headed down the hallway, taking the stairs to the eastern wing. Draco looked around the entry hall. White, polished marble tiles rang under his feet where once black stone had stood. The once dour gray stone walls, before only marginally improved by tapestries and portraits, were now an off-white, smoothed and brightened by 3 layers of plaster. Each layer was imbued with protection and purification spells to bind the lingering dark magic to the stone and keep it from leaching out.
"You've finished renovations on the east wing?" Draco asked.
"Recently," Mother said, taking his arm and guiding him down the hall. "I completed the entrance hall this week."
"You're not taxing yourself, are you?" Draco asked.
Mother gave him an arch look.
"Not in the slightest. My schedule is the same as it was this summer."
Draco let her lead him to all the rooms and hallways that had been plastered and tiled since he left. Most of the paintings were still all stacked against walls, tapestries rolled up and put out of the way, making the manor feel newly built and yet abandoned. It was still far better than before when shadows crept and grew, and a dark unease pervading every room.
"How has school been?"
Mother asked as she finally opened the doors to her favorite sitting room. It was one of a handful of rooms that was fully painted and decorated. The only portraits on the walls were of flowers. A steaming tea service was waiting for them. Draco sat on the large pale blue sofa. You've received my letters, haven't you?
Yes, every week.
Mother sat on the other end of the sofa and charmed the teapot to fill their cups and add sugar, cream, to hers. But I also know you don't want to worry me.
Which has worried you. It seems I've failed quite badly, Draco said lightly.
Mother smiled briefly and then shifted to her serious expression. I am glad your studies are going well, but there has to be more than that.
I've brewed as well, Draco said.
Draco, has anyone...
No, Draco said, quick to cut her off.
It's not...
He sighed and picked up his tea to give himself something to do.
The fact of the matter is that I'm mostly just ignored. The students prefer to act like I don't exist, and the teachers are strict but not unfair. I have Pansy and my brewing and studies to keep me occupied.
Pansy owled me.
Draco groaned.
She said you haven't been eating well lately, Mother said.
I'm fine.
Mother brushed her hand over his cheek.
You're pale.
I'm always pale, Draco said, knowing he couldn't change her mind.
I'll have the elves put a nutrient potion with your meals, and you'll have your digestive tea with breakfast, Mother said.
Draco sighed.
Does it have to do with the headline today? Mother asked.
Draco's cup rattled in his hands, and he quickly set it down.
Mother picked up her own cup and took a delicate sip before just as carefully replacing it back in the saucer.
You have befriended Harry Potter?
Draco cleared his throat and said as coolly as he could manage, It's been going remarkably well, all things considered.
Mother's brow furrowed faintly.
Draco went on before she could feel the silence.
Of course it's been stressful. Potter and I don't exactly have the best history.
Mother stared down at her cup, her expression unreadable.
Things will be different. Are you sure this is what you want?
Draco blinked and drew in an uneven breath.
Yes, it is, he said.
Mother nodded minutely and floated a plate of scones in front of him.
Have a scone. There's clotted cream and fresh preserves.
Draco had two.
I very much hope you enjoyed this reading. If you did, be sure to check out some of the others I've done. A link to the fanfiction will be in the description. New readings, it's new stuff goes up every Wednesday and Friday, religiously. If you want to see more like this, give a recommendation, feedback, or just say hi, leave a comment. And if you like my content and you want to see more, go ahead and subscribe. For people who are watching on YouTube, if you're watching on Spotify, then follow? Follow? I don't know. I didn't know what to say. You're on Spotify, do the Spotify thing. If you're on any other platform, do what that one says. Anyways, yeah, have a great day, and I'll see you all in the next one.